I needed $3,000 a month for the mortgage to keep my home. Johnny said, I'm going to pay you.
$10,000.
Thanks, Ruthie.
This is an answer to my problems. Can't believe I'm even considering buying cocaine from a Peruvian police officer. This is just getting way out of control. I was scared to death. I'm in really big trouble. This was a life or death situation. My biggest fear was that I would never see my children again. I had to plan an escape.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From Wondery, this is Locked Up Abroad. I'm your host, Jim Clementi. Cocaine Mule Mom is the story of Ruthie Lambert. In 2004, Ruthie had a good life, 43 years old, happy with her second husband and three children. When suddenly she loses her job and her husband leaves her, Ruthie spirals down into a deep depression. She's in serious debt, slipping way behind in her mortgage, facing imminent foreclosure. When her Austrian friends offer to pay for a visit, she jumps at the chance to get away from her troubles for a while. But things don't go as planned. Her friends suggest that she can solve her problems by bringing drugs back from Peru for a quick $10,000. After her initial apprehension, she agrees. At first, it works out, and the appeal of easy money brings her back again and again. But after a few successful jobs, things take a bad turn, and she decides it's time to get out. Against her better judgment, though, she makes one more fateful trip.
In 2004, I had a very good life. I was 43 years old. I was married to my second husband. We were very happy together. We loved each other a lot. We used to ride motorcycles. I loved this feeling of freedom. I had three children by my first husband. My daughter lived with me, and my two other children lived with their dad. We just had a really great time in life. And then my whole world falls apart. I lost my job. I was pretty devastated. Little did I know that my life would actually get worse after that. On Christmas Eve, my husband left me. Now I'm by myself and trying to figure out how I'm going to come up with almost $3,000 a month for the mortgage so I can keep my home. It kind of slipped into a bad depression. I didn't know how I was going to deal with anything, how I was going to function. All these things just affected me to the point I couldn't go out and look for work. I just wasn't up for it. Got in touch with friends from Austria.
Hi, Johnny and Ruthie.
Johnny and Biggie. They were friends with me and my second husband for many years. I was telling them.
Billy and I broke up.
They felt bad for me and they said, we're buying you a ticket to come over and visit. You need to get away from your life there because it's too depressing for you.
Oh, that would be great.
And so I thought, oh, this is a great idea. I'll go to Austria and get away from the ugly scene here.
Hi, it's Ruthie.
I called my daughter's father, my first husband, to come and pick her up.
Bye.
Then I go to Austria. Johnny is a tattoo artist. They have a tattoo studio. They were kind of watching out for me and, you know, making sure that I was okay. We were talking about my inability to pay my mortgage on my house at almost $3,000 a month. Then Johnny started telling me about a business idea that he had that involved bringing something back from Peru.
What kind of stuff?
He says that it's
cocaine.
I would be transporting cocaine. I'd seen the movie Midnight Express. I was a little bit scared about that kind of thing. I knew that there was risk involved. But Johnny said, well, I'm going to pay
$10,000.
$10,000 is a pretty fair amount of money when you haven't worked for a long time.
This is a simple camping mattress.
And he says, I got a guy down there who's going to take one of these mattresses and he's going to put some cocaine inside of the mattress.
Spreads it out.
So it's completely flat? Spread out?
Yeah, totally flat.
And it looks just like it came from the factory. It goes through airport security. You can't see a thing. And all you got to do is bring the mattress back. Thought to myself, I can have money to pay my mortgage. Getting myself out of the mess I was in today. It sounded like a foolproof method. So I'm like, hell yeah.
Great. Deal.
So a month later, I set off on this crazy job. I arrived in Lima. A little apprehensive. I'd never been to South America before. I was doing something I've never done before and didn't know exactly what to expect. Johnny's Peruvian contact, Juan, was waiting for me with the sign with my name on it. Went and greeted him like we were old friends. We got in a taxi. And as we're driving along, I just remember looking at so much run-down buildings. I didn't like it too much. I started thinking, why am I here? I don't want to stay here too long. Juan took me to a hotel to stay in. Told me I would be in Peru in maybe a week or so, give or take. Just until all the business was settled. While we were waiting for everything to go through, I would go out and find things to do. There was an awesome bar right near my hotel, and it was a heavy metal club. I had the best time there. Then the next day, Juan came to my hotel. He was carrying a backpack.
Here's the mattress. The special stuff.
He was kind of funny because he always called it special stuff. Johnny had told me how we were going to do it. It was going to be, like, spread out. But when I unrolled the mattress, it was actually all in one spot at one end of it. What's this? I started to kind of get worried at that point that it could possibly show up. I didn't know what to do at that point. I was terrified. It was right before I was catching my flight. I was just going to have to take it like it was. I just had a bad feeling about things to come. When I arrived in the Lima airport, There was a lot of police with guns and dogs. So I'm starting to get pretty nervous. I had to go through the security, and I didn't like the way the mattress looked. And I started to kind of get worried at that point that it could show up when it went through the X-ray machines. I'm watching the people that are inspecting the X-ray screen to see if there's any change in their expression. Suddenly, the conveyor belt stops. They looked closer. I was very nervous inside. I thought my heart was going to beat right out of my chest. This was a life or death situation. It could get very bad. I'm watching the person who is scanning my bag, which contains a kilo of pure cocaine, hoping that it, as it went through, it wouldn't look suspicious. I was scared to death at that point. And then finally, my bag comes through. Whew, that was a relief. And I'm home free. I'm ready to go get on the plane. Vienna was probably one of the most relaxed airports I've ever been in. Nobody came and approached me or hassled me. Got off, went and got my luggage, and out of the airport. Johnny seemed very pleased and very happy. I feel great. I've just made $10,000. After I got paid for this trip, I got my mortgage company off my back.
I called you.
And I was ready to go and make some more money. Over the next 3.5 months, I made 2 more trips. I wouldn't exactly call it easy money, because it is a very nerve-wracking job. But everything went like clockwork. As soon as I got paid, I would go back to the United States, pay the mortgage, and spend some time with my children. It was my 3rd trip when things started to go wrong. I was carrying 2 kilos of coke, and I was probably getting a little bit complacent because everything was going nice and smoothly. Suddenly, a couple of scary-looking guys with guns approached me. I've seen you here several times, you know, why you've been to Lima so many times. Oh, my God, I'm carrying a big bag full of drugs over my shoulder while I'm talking to a cop. I have to be cool. When I say, I just come up with something off the top of my head.
I'm selling tattoo supplies.
We have a tattoo company in Europe. I can't be acting all weird or nervous and start sweating or anything like that, because it'll be a dead giveaway I'm doing something wrong. So I pull up my sleeves. They kind of scanned over my tattoos and looked at them. They just accepted it. I was like, narrow escape. I was worried that they were paying too much attention to me now. And I thought to myself, maybe it's time to take a break.
Mom?
But my financial situation is still not good. It was just too hard to catch up with all the months I was behind.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling t-shirts from a booth at your local farmer's market or dishing out handmade crafts online, Shopify's POS system manages it all. Unite your in-person and online business with a trusted platform that supports your retail hustle. Get started with hardware tailored to your needs, from payments on the go to full-scale retail setups, with round-the-clock support to keep your sales smooth as silk. Do the smart thing for retail. Go with Shopify. For a limited time, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Wondery, all lowercase. Take your business to new heights. Visit shopify.com/Wondery today. That's shopify.com/Wondery.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I started getting letters from the mortgage company that threatened foreclosure. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then Johnny called and said, need you to go again. It was dangerous. But I didn't want to lose my house. I thought about, yeah, okay, so I go to work for 1 week, I get 10 grand.
Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
So it was back to going to work and paying the mortgage. This time when I got to Lima, things didn't work out so well. I told Juan that I needed a kilo and I gave him $2,000. He told me that there was a crooked cop. He suggested that Juan buy the coke from him. I'm not sure if he was just trying to sell a kilo of coke and make some extra money, or if he was really trying to set us up.
He could watch me go to the airport and have me arrested.
I can't believe I'm even considering buying cocaine from a Peruvian police officer.
I know, but we have no choice.
But if I came home empty-handed, I wouldn't get paid, and I would lose my house. I had to go ahead and make the deal. This is just getting way out of control. The more that Juan spoke with him, he got the idea that it was going to be a bad deal, that this cop could be trying to set us up. At the last minute, I decided there was too much at risk. I canceled the whole transaction. So I did not make a dime on this trip. I decided pretty much that I didn't really want to do this anymore, and it was really time to get out. After that, it was probably one of the worst times of my life. The mortgage company, when you get so far behind, they order the foreclosures. My daughter helped me move out of the house and pack up all my stuff, and that was hard. My daughter took it pretty hard, too. My daughter went back to her father's house in Miami. I had nowhere to move to. I was pretty much homeless. I needed to get some money fast.
Hello?
And then Johnny calls. I was in such a bad situation. I decided I'd do it one last shot, and then that was it. No more.
Good morning. Please give me your documents.
From the get-go, I had a bad feeling about this one. And when they gave me my boarding pass, they wrote a red magic marker quite large. I don't know what it really meant. I should have listened to my gut feeling. When I got over to the security entrance, they looked at my boarding pass. And they said, oh no, you go over on this side.
Please, wait here.
And I'm like, oh, God, what now? The police come up to me. Are you Ruthie Lambert? And I'm like, yeah.
Come with us.
I was very nervous inside. So they put me in a little room. And they pull all my stuff out of my suitcase. they started asking me a lot of questions.
What is your job?
What I've been doing in Europe, what I've been doing in Lima.
Sell tattoo supplies.
Oh, really?
And the police didn't really believe me. And they come out with these big pads and they start wiping everything down to see if there's any drug residue on there. Like, they thought that I was trying to smuggle drugs out of the Miami airport. But my things were clean. But I realized that if the American police are on to me, obviously I'm becoming hot. It was really time to get out. I told Johnny,
I don't want to do this anymore.
It's like, fine, if you want it to be your last trip, that's fine. Just get this one taken care of.
Yeah, this will be the last one.
I should not have gone. Hindsight's 20/20, but it's too late for that now. On this trip, I was picking up 3 kilos. Now I had to package it myself. I didn't have very much time and I had a lot of work to do. Grate it up in a big, giant tub. Then put it inside of the food saver bags. Suck the air out. And seal it. Another bag. Suck the air out. Seal that one up. I needed to stay awake as long as I could. Next, I still had the mattress. Cut the end off. Slit the foam, open it up, put the cocaine inside. But 3 kilos was way too much to try to stuff inside of one mattress. It was so fat with cocaine that it was really difficult to roll my mattress up. And I started to get worried at that point. I was supposed to be on my way to the airport. It wouldn't even fit inside of the sleeve. It was a real job to get it inside of the backpack. I was afraid it could potentially give it away. But there was no time to go and redo it over again. I was very late. So I was just going to have to take it like it was. And that was probably the worst decision of my life. And even though I was still having a bad feeling about the trip, I just kept telling myself that I'm being nervous for nothing. This is just like any of my other trips. It was going to be fine. We drive up to the departures, and I open up my door. Suddenly, a guy like a porter ran across, said, "Hey, put your stuff on a trolley." The alarm bells start going off in my head that this is different. In all my times that I've been here, they've never come out to greet me with a baggage cart. I was getting definitely kind of spooked over all this different behavior. Everything did not feel right, but I told myself I was being overly nervous for no reason. I'd done this so many times and everything had gone fine, but I just felt very unsettled. I walk inside the airport. I'm already starting to think that there's other things brewing besides me being late. The porter who has my baggage is standing off to my right, and he's got a bunch of police officers with guns and dogs walking around my suitcases. I was really nervous. I walked up to the check-in counter and gave them my passport and my ticket.
Buenos
dias.
Now I can see them continuing to move around the luggage. I was so scared. I should have walked away.
Señora.
suddenly the cops come up.
Disculpe, por favor. ¿Podemos revisar?
And they say, we'd like to search your luggage. I was feeling very apprehensive. They wanted to see my backpack. And I'm terrified. They pull out the mattress and they're kind of looking at it. I was just standing there watching them. One cop gets out some sharp kind of device and stabs at it. My stomach was definitely upside down at this point. There's nothing on it. I'm like secretly smiling to myself that, well, they didn't find anything. And so I'm thinking they're gonna let it go. Nope, he stabs it again. And I'm like, oh God. Pulls it out and he looks at it, still nothing on it. So I'm like starting to really smile inside and I'm trying to keep the smile from creeping on my face. He stabs it a third time. I see it come out. It's coated with all white powdery stuff at the end. Felt like a 50-story building crashed inside of my stomach. Well, that's the end of that. And they handcuffed me to the chair. They said, you're being charged with drug trafficking. I was in shock. They leave you handcuffed to the chair for about 14 hours. I went through a million moments of regret that night. If I should have listened to my gut feeling, I should not have gone. I was thinking about my kids and how much I missed them. I started to think about, oh my God, what I'm going to tell my family. I'm in huge trouble. And I have no idea what the penalty is going to be. I'm sure it's prison, but I have no idea for how long. I was so miserable. I couldn't believe I was in prison. They give you a mattress and find a place to sleep. People were in there for stealing, armed robbery, drugs, murder. It was horrible, it was smelly, it was dirty. I just thought about where I was and where I was gonna be for a long time and that I would not be in contact with anyone that I care about or love. There was a phone there. So I called my daughter.
Hi, baby. Yeah, it's Mom.
And she's frantic with worry about me because she hadn't heard from me in so long. I was really in a lot of pain inside because I had hurt her so much. The only thing I could tell her was that I loved her and that I was sorry. I didn't know how long I would go away. And I'm just telling her that I was really sorry and I didn't mean to hurt her and I'm sorry I let her down and disappointed her. And, you know, I ran out of time and we had to hang up. Six years and 8 months, that's a long time. And I wouldn't see my children, my family, my friends. I was devastated knowing I'm going to be suffering for years and years and years, you know, the horrors of a foreign prison. I didn't know that it would get a lot worse. I started to notice some small bumps around my eye. They looked like almost like small pimples or something like that. Every day, a new one would grow, and every day they would get a little bit larger. 5 years earlier, I had had breast cancer. I knew that my cancer had returned. I was getting very, very sick, and I was also losing a lot of weight. I was very weak. I knew that if I didn't get back to America soon and get some medical intervention, I was going to die very soon. I figured I was looking at probably the beginning of 2012 before I would actually be able to return to the United States. And I knew with the health problems I was having, I wouldn't make it. My biggest fear in the whole world was that I would die in Peru, never see my children again, and never see my family again. I was very scared, more than anything, that would happen. I had to make my way out of Peru any way that I could. I had to plan an escape.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I had a lawyer who knew somebody that could help me get out of the country. Cost of escaping Peru would be $2,000 US. My sister sent me the money. He'd done this before, so I took his word, but I was still a little bit apprehensive.
We are right here, okay?
He would drive us out of the country into Ecuador. My lawyer got my passport back. There was a strange mark on the back of it written in like a white paint. And I'm sure this is something that the Peruvian police put on it to kind of red flag people's passports when they've been arrested. I took like a dark colored pen and scribbled all over it so it would blend in a little bit better with the cover of my passport. Just in case, you know, it kind of stuck out when I went through any airports. I was ready to go and we left a few days later. My escort and the sister-in-law picked me up, and we got on a coastal road that headed north towards Ecuador. I was feeling very nervous and very apprehensive about the whole trip. I didn't know what would happen when we got to the border. I didn't know what would happen when I got to the airport. I was very weak. My stomach constantly hurt. Constantly, I was in pain. I was just hoping that I would make it back to America in time to save my own life. Hours and hours later, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Suddenly, there was police officers out in the road flagging cars over. I'm really scared because I don't know if they're going to find something wrong with my passport. I could get sent back to Lima and have to go back to prison to die. The police came up and asked my escort for identification and driver's license. I just sat very quietly in the back, just hoping that he would let me go. The cop looked over at me. I was so scared. At that point, I thought, oh my God, it's all over. He was going to ask to see my passport. Noticed that there was that white writing from the Peruvian police on the back. But he didn't say anything. He waved us ahead and everything was fine. I was so happy to be out of there. Finally, we stopped not too far from the border, which was the middle of a big marketplace. My escort explained that we would walk through the marketplace. When we got to the other side, that we would be in Ecuador. I was very apprehensive because there's always lots of police, lots of guns at any border. So I couldn't believe we would be able to cross so easily. This was a big do or die day. If I didn't make it, I would never see my children again. It was probably almost a mile from one end of the marketplace to the other. All the way down, I was just waiting for the police or somebody to stop me. I'm so weak, I'm afraid I'm just gonna keel over and pass out if something bad starts to happen. And then in front of us was like a big banner that hung across the marketplace. A sign that you are leaving Peru and entering Ecuador. I couldn't believe it. There was no police anywhere. I was elated as I walked under the sign. I'm not even gonna look over my shoulder. I never wanna see that country again. I can't even describe how happy I was to actually have finally walked out of Peru.
We made it. I'm free.
Not yet, we still got the heavy passport stamps.
I couldn't believe it.
Why?
We need to have your passport stamps, fly out of the country.
I didn't know what to do at that point. I was so scared that we were gonna end up being arrested and thinking, it's over again, you know? I mean, I can't believe it. I didn't wanna be showing anyone my passport. If they run my name, maybe it'll come back. I'm supposed to be in Lima. They would arrest me and send me back to prison, and I would die in there. We walked into the Border Patrol place, and we walked up to one of the windows. The guard looks at my friend's passport, and he starts flipping through it, and he's like,
"Está su sello de salida del Perú.
Where's your stamp for leaving Peru?" I didn't get my passport stamped on the way out. I didn't even think about it. So the man says, "Well, you need to have your passport stamped when you leave Peru before you come into Ecuador." I was scared to death. I thought that they were going to arrest me and send me back to Peru. My friend walked into this little office with the man he was talking to, and I was really freaking out. I was afraid to go in this room. I knew I was going to end up in handcuffs. I heard him asking him, "So what's it going to take to straighten this out?" He says, "You know, we need to get our passport stamped." The guard says, "Oh, the both of you." So now I'm terrified. He'll flip my passport over and notice that white writing from the Peruvian police. My friend pulled out a crisp $100 bill and he says, "Will $100 be enough?"
$100 estará suficiente.
I just stood there in the doorway, frozen. I was so scared that we were going to end up being arrested for bribing cops. I'm thinking that, oh my God, it's all over. The guy took it, stuck it in his pocket. He took both of our passports and they got stamped. Then he handed them back to us.
Gracias. Muchas gracias.
I am so relieved. I was crying. Trying to walk so calm, but I just wanted to run. And I can't keep from grinning. I got an ear-to-ear grin. When I landed in Miami after all these years, I was in tears. And my daughter and my youngest son came to the airport to pick me up. I was like trying not to get too emotional because they don't know what I've been through. They don't know how sick I am. They don't know the experience I've had to live through for the last few years of my life and how happy I am to be in my country, in my city. I was so emotional. I almost got out and kissed the ground. My cancer has spread through my body. It can't be operated on, it can't be removed. It's gonna be there, it's not going away. The only thing they can do is try to control it and try to prolong my life. The price that I paid is way more than I ever made out of drug trafficking. I didn't just end up in prison. I ended up with a death sentence. Knowing that I could die in a foreign prison made me realize what's really important in life. And it's not money, it's not houses or material things. It's spending time with family, friends, loved ones. And every day that I get to spend with them, to me now, is precious.
Thank you for listening to Locked Up Abroad from Wondery, the network behind Dr. Death, Dirty John, and Business Wars. To listen to more great shows like Locked Up Abroad, visit Wondery.com. Locked Up Abroad was produced by Raw TV Limited for National Geographic channels. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved. Distributed under license from Fox Networks Group Content Distribution UK Limited. Our audio adaptation is edited by Daniel Carissimi. Our producer is Donna Himes. Our executive producers are Marshall Louis and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.